There's a dangerous new party game making the rounds that could put your child at risk. It's called Pharming, spelled with a PH, as in pharmaceuticals. Teens dump a variety of prescription drugs into a big bowl, then pull out one, two, three, or more pills to mix and get high. College student Lara Cohen hears about Pharming from some of her friends.
I wonder if these two pills will do together. Let's find out. And there's no concept that, gee, this could kill me or this could hurt me. There's no thought to the consequences, only to the immediate reaction, the immediate thrill.
Psychiatrist Dr. Carl Benzio says teens are raiding their parents' medicine cabinets or buying the medications on the street on their way to the party.
And they're passing them around, sometimes putting them in the bowl, and you know, you pick out two or three based on color, based on size, based on dares.
In addition to the obvious risk of death by overdose, there are other dangers the average teen would never think of.
Now, if a kid has a certain medical problem and he takes a pill that might worsen or exacerbate that medical problem, then you run into that kind of risk.
Cowan says some pills are very small, and prescription drug abuse is hard to detect.
There's no jittery signs, there's no bloodshot eyes, so while the teachers are looking for Altoid boxes and baggies, the kid's sitting there with a pin in his pocket.
The kids she talks to have no problem hiding this kind of drug abuse from their parents.
They're still thinking that their kids are carrying little plastic baggies with green grass in it, and they have no idea that their kid has all these other things.
Things they can get right from your medicine cabinet. The cover. This is Family News in Focus. I'm Bob Dittmer. The average college student is going into the workplace with thousands of dollars of credit card debt and an inadequate knowledge of personal finance. That's according to the National Associations of State Boards of Education. So the group is proposing a plan to make financial literacy and investor education a basic feature of K-12 education. Steve Jordahl reports.
Charles Godbold is in seventh grade and has a limited understanding of finances. I asked him how much his school lunch costs.
Nothing at all. I've got free lunch.
Charles has yet to learn there's no such thing as a free lunch. John Gannon of the NASD Investor Education Foundation, which is funding the initiative, says the curriculum should start with basic financial math.
What's an APR? You know, what are percentages? You know, making sure that they have the basic skills there. Also, I think you can teach kids, even that young, how to save.
Sounds like a good idea, but Candy Cushman of Focus on the Family Action warns parents to beware of corporations that might take advantage of the program.
You should be well aware of whether schools are bringing in outside influences such as credit card companies or other corporations to get free advertising in this.
Howard Dayton of Crown Financial Ministries also likes the plan with some caveats.
I like the idea a lot. The primary responsible clearly should rest with the parents because most spending decisions are made outside the classroom. We have to recognize that some of the principles that they're going to be teaching may not line up with what the Bible tells us.
He says most college students will be faced with investment decisions as soon as they fill out their 401k forms. For Family News in Focus, I'm Steve Jordahl.
There's a dangerous new party game making the rounds that could put your child at risk. It's called Pharming, spelled with a PH, as in pharmaceuticals. Teens dump a variety of prescription drugs into a big bowl, then pull out one, two, three, or more pills to mix and get high. College student Lara Cohen hears about Pharming from some of her friends.
I wonder if these two pills will do together. Let's find out. And there's no concept that, gee, this could kill me or this could hurt me. There's no thought to the consequences, only to the immediate reaction, the immediate thrill.
Psychiatrist Dr. Carl Benzio says teens are raiding their parents' medicine cabinets or buying the medications on the street on their way to the party.
And they're passing them around, sometimes putting them in the bowl, and you know, you pick out two or three based on color, based on size, based on dares.
In addition to the obvious risk of death by overdose, there are other dangers the average teen would never think of.
Now, if a kid has a certain medical problem and he takes a pill that might worsen or exacerbate that medical problem, then you run into that kind of risk.
Cowan says some pills are very small, and prescription drug abuse is hard to detect.
There's no jittery signs, there's no bloodshot eyes, so while the teachers are looking for Altoid boxes and baggies, the kid's sitting there with a pin in his pocket.
The kids she talks to have no problem hiding this kind of drug abuse from their parents.
They're still thinking that their kids are carrying little plastic baggies with green grass in it, and they have no idea that their kid has all these other things.
Things they can get right from your medicine cabinet. The cover story in this month's Ms. Magazine proudly proclaims We Had Abortions, accompanied by the names of thousands of women who are eager to make the declaration. As sad as the concept may seem, even sadder is the fact that many experts believe it's a last-ditch political maneuver by feminists, rather than a real attempt to support those who have been hurt by an abortion. Those like Teresa Bonapartis.
They're told to forget about it. It's in your past. Women are made to feel, if they're suffering because they had an abortion, that there's something wrong with them. And the pro-choice side just really validates that.
More validation will arrive next week when the fall issue of Ms. Magazine hits the shelves.